You're listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
I'm Leanna.
And this week is Fast Week. And so I hope you listened to the most recent episode where we talked about the Fast and the Furious. Now we're on to Too Fast, Too Furious. And because the Fast and Furious franchise is all about family, what better way to introduce my sister to the podcasting world than with Too Fast, Too Furious?
Hi, I'm Erica. I'm Ben's sister, owner of the Licorice Pizza Pie blog, which pairs vinyl records with artfully crafted dishes. And I'm honored to be here today joining this. I've heard a lot about Munch and followed it throughout the years. Seen all of the delicious posts, so it's exciting to be here.
Food blogs run in the family.
Yeah. Food and pairing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so unusual pairings. Yeah.
And you're also obviously a fan of the Fast World.
So. Do you have it on vinyl? Any of the soundtracks?
Ooh.
I wonder if they've ever put any out on vinyl is the issue.
That's what you're getting for Christmas this year, I hope you
Tokyo
know.
Tokyo Drift.
So the hard thing with vinyl is there was a clear vinyl drought from like the late 90s to mid 2000s.
That's like prime Fast years.
Also all those hot Usher tracks.
Damn. Oh man, 8701. Not on vinyl.
Some great options.
Mm. I bet Fate of the Furious is on vinyl though.
I'm not sure if I'd want. It's a little early to say.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if I'd want Fate of the Furious on vinyl. I'll be honest. 7 I could see.
Yeah.
3 I could see. 5 I could see.
3 for sure.
3 for sure.
What about Too Fast, Too Furious?
Yeah, maybe we should just dive into the soundtrack.
We should just dive in. All right, we're gonna throw the order out the window.
Well, I think
we don't need an order. I think we just got to hit the same notes.
Yeah, okay. And I think if you're new to the podcast, if you're just tuning in, if you have no idea what Fast and the Furious is or what Fast Week is or why any of this matters, you should go back and listen to the episode before this because we explain it all there.
And it's shorter than our normal episode, so like that's great for you.
Yeah, easy entry. Less of us.
Yeah.
Win-win.
That's why you listen to this podcast. So the music. Any favorite songs? Any highlights? Just general thoughts and themes?
I really loved at the very beginning when we meet Tej, who's played by Ludacris, and he is kind of having his big moment where he's introducing his character and he's like running the street race and you see that he has all these friends and he's kind of leading the pack. And they're also playing a Ludacris song in the background. And in the song, he says, "Too Fast, Too Furious."
Does he?
He says Fast and Furious. He might not say Too Fast, Too Furious. Yeah.
Because I think he says
Too Fast.
He says Fast and Furious.
Yeah, where they messed up, they have that Too Fast, Too Furious song in the first Fast and the Furious, and that, like, they messed that up.
But there was something really great about the fact that they were just playing a song that he, in real life, as an artist, made, but he's playing a character on screen, and they were like, well, we don't care, we'll just put them together. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what they do. Like, in the last movie, they had Ja Rule, and they had the Ja Rule custom Too Fast, Too Furious song.
Yeah.
Which was the highlight, one of the highlights of that album. Mm-hmm. Like, you can definitely tell they got a music director to, like, come in and be like, all right, we need to get serious about music. What are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a very nice and, like, appreciated tonal shift between what happened in The Fast and the Furious and what happens in Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah, I like this one better. I thought this was a better soundtrack.
Me too, but there were still some, like, I don't like almost orchestral pieces, like during the drives, which I felt were kind of out of place. Like a very instrumental score, like dun 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 dun.
Did they play that song? I don't think
the
they
one
played
from
that
the
song.
Fast and Furious. No,
yeah, I don't think they did.
I don't think so.
No?
Interesting.
I think they did while they were driving.
Maybe it's inspired by.
Yeah, they totally did in like the last drive.
I was remembering.
Yeah, I see that. Just before they jump in the boat. It felt out of place though, because everything else is so high energy and then strings.
We need to pay attention to that. That's a good point though. Mm-hmm. Might need to go back to the tape on that. So that's the music section. Short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Should we move on to what we call the Fast and Furious round, where we say what was Fast and Furious in this film delivered fast and furiously. Is everyone on board for this?
Yes. Yes.
So in your most fast and furious tone, you have to tell us what you thought was the most fast and most furious in this film.
I think we're getting the theme for this round. Yes.
I'm workshopping it a little bit.
Fast and furious at the same time or separate?
Same time.
Okay.
Okay.
Deliver both fast and furiously.
Okay.
Okay. Who's starting?
That's a great question. Who's ready?
I think our guest should start.
Are you ready?
I'll do it. I can put it fast and furious.
All right. Fast and furious.
Okay, so I think the fast part was my favorite was the bridge going over that. Not because it's actually fast in time, mm-hmm. but because I think it just really embodies the speed because it slows it down. And I think the best furious moment was the initial fight between Brian and Rome, because come on, how furious can you get?
Just they were furiously in love.
Best moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best.
They were
moments.
Furiously rolling around in the dirt with each other. I mean, come on.
Brian's legs were like wide open at one point. Like I just
their
have
legs
to say
were
it.
Like intertwined. And
yeah,
it was adorable.
There are photos
it
was, on
they
Twitter.
Were a human pretzel.
Yeah.
We documented it.
Tasty and salty and
baked
a lot
and
of
risen.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just perfection. Hard outsides, but soft in the center.
That is Roman in a nutshell. Because he starts off pretty.
Heart.
He starts off pretty like abrasive, but you see that warm, gooey core before the end.
That is for sure.
Yeah,
and that is a quote. All right, Andre, you're up.
Okay, fastest moment, very first race when the guy from Prison Break, I think. He's like racing towards a wall and it looks like he's going to hit the wall and he turns at the last second. My heart stopped. Like, and you see it from like a first person perspective. The wall's just racing at you. That wall was coming fast.
Yeah.
Most furious moment was again, like my furious moment from the first movie, just a really quick tonal shift with a character where they just got angry out of nowhere. In this, it was when the bad guy had the rat on the guy's belly and he was heating up it was the gross scene.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the scene, the bad guy was cool and collected the whole time. And then at the end of the scene, he just got really furious and was yelling in the guy's face. And it like came out of nowhere and he was furious. So that was my fast and my furious.
Okay, I'm gonna keep with your tonal shifts.
Okay.
And my furious moment is when there's that confrontation in that like abandoned bodega that's actually the police hideout, mm-hmm. and everyone's drawing their guns, and at one point, Dad, who is the like head cop, but we just call all the head cops Dad now at this point.
Yep.
So Dad actually tosses his gun to his partner. In just like a fit of rage.
Gun safety. Out the door.
And it ends with Roman claiming his sandwich, and then in the next scene, they're all chill and talking about, like, plans for the next move.
There's a furious moment there where Roman slams the sandwich on the table and then picks it back up and continues eating it in the next scene. That was pretty good.
But isn't that, like, also an epic dad move to, like, play the like, harsh card and, like, being strict, but also ultimately allow the kid to get the sandwich? And
good cop, bad dad.
Yeah.
You gotta eat. I know you gotta eat. You're a grown boy.
And then my fast moment was, I'm gonna go ahead and take the obvious one, but it's when Roman and Brian are driving in the car together. It's the last stunt of the movie, and they decide to just go balls to the wall and just drive their car up a... doesn't even really look like a ramp, but it gives them some serious air.
No, it
looks
like a wall.
It's a no little ramp.
But they flew off of it, and they landed on a boat, and it was awesome. And so I'm going to give that my fast moment.
It is, yeah. That is... you stole my fast moment. My furious moment. All right. So my fast moment is going to be the scene when the heist is on and the police are following everyone and then they go into the garage and then all of a sudden all of these street racer cars come out of the garage, throwing everyone off and just general chaos ensues. That's my fast moment. And as for my furious moment,
there's some good choreography in
there's some great choreography.
That was very good.
It's good choreography in that.
Oh God.
The best choreography.
One of us is going to go there. It was always you.
And as for my furious moment, I'm going to go with the one that reminded me of Mad Max Fury Road the most, which is earlier on in the film when Barone, the main villain and bad guy of the film, wants to decide who his driver's going to be. He has everyone go out to retrieve a package for him. But ultimately, one of the drivers gets caught in between two semi-trucks and is rolled underneath the back wheels of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a pretty furious moment, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Right out of Mad Max.
And the trucker just keeps going.
Yeah, he
truckers
does.
In this series are ruthless.
It's not this series, babe. It's truckers in this world.
Yeah,
okay. In the world of Fast and Furious.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've talked about the world of Fast and Furious, or at least like, written
we
about
don't
the world
live in this, in their world. No. Like, they're in a parallel universe with many similarities, but also many differences. And one of them is the ruthless truckers.
It's kind of like driving how in a video game, like, all enemies of one type are all the same. That's the trucker enemy. All truckers are ruthless and will murder you and just keep moving. They never take their foot off the pedal.
But I think that actually really speaks to the quality of this series, is that they created this entire separate world.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't feel
everything
like
aligns
series,
to it.
Yeah. I don't feel another series has really done that as well as Fast and Furious has.
No. Within the movie, they have their own archetypes. There's the trucker archetype.
Yeah.
The Paul Walker archetype. the rapper they got for one movie archetype.
And thank goodness, I think that's a great segue into Welcome to the Family. We talk about
Segue games on point today.
I know, I'm working on it. Where we welcome the new members to the family. And I think for this episode, there's two.
Two of my favorite members.
I think just because there's two, we should all go around and say something we love about them.
Okay.
So first up, we have Tej, played by Ludacris, or Chris Bridges.
Luda,
as he's often known as well.
He calls himself Luda!
Self-referential.
Okay.
Side note, in middle school, a friend and I came up with a water-based Ludacris character called Luda Fish.
Yeah.
And we took a bunch of his raps and made them aquatic themed.
Yeah. Do these have recorded?
Oh, definitely nothing recorded. Oh, but okay. Such hits as Shoal Out.
Oh.
That's a really good one.
I like that.
Good vocab there.
Yeah.
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 Definitely worked on that, workshopped that one a little bit. And then.
Did he ever perform these for you, or did you just know?
He did not, but I knew about it because. That you guys drew fish.
Yes.
In album art.
In one of my yearbooks, I have the friend that I came up with this with. He was kind of a cartoonist and drew a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a very distinct style. And so he ultimately drew a fish that was kind of like standing up with like his two bottom fins as feet, essentially, and a very exaggerated hat. And then, like, a very nice, large chain.
Loose jumpsuit. Oh.
No jumpsuit. Like, jumpsuit just doesn't really work on the fish frame.
Is this available for us to see?
It's funny.
I'm sure it's still on MySpace.
Yeah. Can you give us the link? We found my brothers.
I have no
Shall
idea.
Shelby Rob, thank MySpace. You for our theme song.
I thought for sure I'd sent you this.
You've told us about it, but I don't think I've ever seen the image.
Okay.
Anyway, welcome Ludacris.
Yes. Welcome Ludafish as well. Because Ludacris in our minds, Ludafish in our hearts. Ludacris. Erica, you want to...
Well, to be honest, Ludafish was the first thing that came to mind. Because I just remember that so vividly.
Yeah.
Good days. One of my favorite things about Luda in this movie... I think it's the various looks that he's got. He's got it all. He has got, like, you know, amazing garage owner, boat owner. You know, he's in charge of all of these, and the hair looks different. The clothes are different. The chains are different. I even feel like he actually has sort of different personas depending on what his hair is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about when we have the opening scene with the big fro.
Yeah he's big, showman.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point. And at the races, he's got his cornrows, a sleek look.
Mm-hmm.
Aerodynamic. Yeah, and that's something he continues throughout the series. Like, he always is of his time. Like, in the new Fast and Furious, he might have, like, a slick suit.
Yeah, he's changed a lot.
Yeah, he has. Because he disappears from the series for a couple movies, and then he comes back in, like, a 20-teens fashionable look.
Yeah, like, he grows up a lot between.
But he's always, like, at the peak of whatever is in fashion at the time, or... You know, he can embody three different fashions in one movie.
Yeah.
Three different styles.
He can go from garage owner to techie to night on the town to ballroom.
Yeah.
In like a couple minutes.
Yeah. I love that he's a showman. This is me just talking about Tej a little bit. He's a showman. He loves to set up a little surprise for later. Like, he'll lay the groundwork. You'll forget about it for a couple scenes, and then there'll be the payoff later.
Yeah.
And I feel like he does that throughout the series, too.
Yeah. That's actually, that leads
into... His jokes are usually, like, multi-scene jokes. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he also, like, I didn't... Going into this movie, I didn't remember him having a techie side in it, and yet that's a big part of his character later on. And yet I was pleasantly surprised how subtle it, like the thing at the very beginning when there's a street race and he tells everyone a few scenes ahead of time, like, keep watching, guys, there's going to be a surprise. And then a few scenes later, he has managed to hack a bridge, and the bridge lifts up just enough so that the racers have to do this final big jump before they can end the race. And it was just a nice little preview into this, like, oh, this has always been a hobby for him. He's always been good at this. He's just never had an opportunity to, like, really take it to the next level. And so I really appreciate that continuity in the series now, knowing that he had these humble beginnings. And yeah, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, Ludacris, he changes so much over the course of the franchise that it's nice to see his roots and to see where he came from and kind of his relatively humble beginnings compared to where he is now. And like,
because he won't talk about that later.
No, he won't.
He never has like a started from the bottom, now I'm here kind of moment.
He just tries to, which is great, that's a character choice for him.
Yeah. Right.
I also remembered another song we created as Ludafish, and it was based off the Ludacris's song Get Back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we imagined it from the album The Shark Infested District instead of the Red Light District. Just something, a little play.
Okay.
Sure. Something a little common there.
Yeah.
Shoalout was better.
Shoalout was better, but like Shark Infested District's no joke. All right. So after Tej, we have none other than Roman Pierce, played by Tyrese Gibson.
Just Tyrese in the credits, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, just as Tyrese.
I wonder at what point he adds the Gibson.
We'll have to keep an eye out for
it. I mean, like, his musical name, I think, is just Tyrese.
Oh, then that's why.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Two musicians in this series.
Yeah.
All right, now let's a quick roundtable again about Tyrese. Roman Pierce, the man with $1,000 smile.
And laugh.
Yeah,
and $1 million laugh, actually.
He seems like he's just having a great time on set.
Yeah.
And he brings an energy to this film sorely needed.
Yeah.
Because this film can be a little slow and a little rough at times. And I think he also plays he's a really good foil to Brian's kind of relatively simple character, and they play off each other really well, I think.
Yeah, he also going off the foil to Brian, he always plays the role in these movies of the, like, incredulous member of the group. Like, someone's going to do something crazy, like Brian's going to jump onto a boat, and Roman's always the one who's there to say, like, no way. There's no way you're going to do that. You're not going to do what I think you're going to do, are you? And I mean, like, in Seven, he was the guy who was not about to launch his car out of a plane. He's always the guy who, like, does not want to do whatever crazy stunt they're doing.
Which is totally, like, the internal monologue in the audience's head.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You are not going to drive five cars out of the back of a plane and then parachute to the ground. You are not going to do that.
Yeah.
But he does it.
He does it.
Yeah, he always goes along with it.
Yeah, he brings a, I think he's the first character to bring any humor to the franchise, really. Yeah. That kind of becomes his sole role. His character doesn't get much deeper than that, but that's okay. It's an ensemble cast. It's okay to have a comedic relief character.
And he does a great job of it.
Yeah, he does.
Well, it also feels really authentic. And we did, because we own all these movies on Blu-ray, we did watch the outtakes, and it was 90% Tyrese just hamming it up for no one other than himself. Like, I feel like it was just because he was having such a good time.
He's just someone that has a good time.
Yeah, he's just a really authentic guy. Yeah. So I appreciate that about him.
I think that resonated throughout the movie. I mean, every time he was in the scene, it felt like the scene was brighter or happier. Yeah. Or I was, you know, when he's in the scene with everyone else, you're really just watching him.
Yeah, that's true.
It was his pearly whites.
Yes. The $1 million smile.
Yeah.
The
$1 million smile.
Also, you want to see what he's
doing. Those teeth are like perfect. You know who else has perfect teeth?
Who?
Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator. Is going to lead us.
That's a bit of a stretch, but all right, we'll go with it.
If Terminators don't have perfect teeth, then they messed up.
So right. I actually had a different segue into the same one.
Let's hear your segue real quick.
Mine was going to be, so we've talked about new characters. We don't really lose any characters, but there's one character who is not necessarily seen, but definitely felt. And I would like to talk about that character.
Right. Let's set up the music real quick.
Oh wait, no, mine was.
That was your closeout music.
Oh, okay.
Get it together. This is a real. This is my quarter.
You have five more episodes of this to work on.
Something like that.
Once you commit, you just have to, like, commit, okay? Okay.
Do you... Should we cue this up one more time?
One more time. Welcome to Leanna's Terminator Corner. If you tuned in last episode, you heard the boys doubt that I'd be able to find evidence in this movie because Dominic Toretto isn't actually in it. Fortunately for you, and for them, and for everyone... I found plenty of evidence that Dominic Toretto is, in fact, a Terminator. I'm going to start with the more obscure clues, but there's a big twist at the end, the most dramatic twist you can imagine, so stay tuned for that. But first, if you've watched the Terminator series, you know that the Terminators have several different forms, and one in particular comes in Terminator 2, and he is referred to as the Liquid Man. What?
I just want to see where you're going with this.
I would like to suggest that Dominic Toretto is the type of Terminator that is like the Liquid Man, but still has the metal skeleton underneath for strength.
Huh.
So there's a scene in the film where there's a street race taking place, a relay street race, actually, and... Roman hasn't done so hot, and so his team, which is Brian, is a little bit behind. And there's a lot on the line, because all the cars are on the line, right? This is a big deal. And so Brian decides to take a risk.
They were racing for pink slips. Huge deal.
Yeah.
We just call them pinks.
Pinks.
Okay.
For short.
So it's Brian's turn now, and he's trying to win back some time that that Roman lost him. And he's so far behind that the guy on the other team has actually rounded a corner, is coming back towards him. And so Brian then decides, instead of passing him, that he will go head on. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but I felt like Brian had zero fear. And I will tell you why Brian had zero fear. Okay. It was because Dominic Toretto, the Liquid Man, was on the front of his car, ready to reinforce it if he was going to hit the other guy.
How do you know?
I just know.
Okay.
It's my corner.
That is solid proof.
I just know.
Huh. Okay.
Interesting one.
Well, I started with the worst, and then it's going to get better from there, okay?
Yeah.
I thought it was creative.
It is creative.
You guys are being such downers.
Are you
convinced? I think I saw, actually, the hood of the car sort of like ripple like water.
Thank you.
So I really can see that.
Yeah, right? Okay. The other one is, for some reason in this movie, all of the cops have these crazy guns where if you shoot them at a car, no matter where you hit it, it like shorts all the circuits. And it's like a very weird futuristic technology that doesn't really make sense based on anything else that happens in the movie. And yet they all have it. And also there's a scene where one has landed in the car that Brian is driving. And earlier in the film, we saw it actually like immediately short circuit the car that he was driving. But for some reason, this time, it can't quite catch hold. Again, I would argue that Dominic Toretto, the liquid man, is inside the car fighting it off with his mind, buying Brian some time to pull it out as he does, get rid of it, and keep driving.
This one I buy because it's like a technology that the cops haven't accounted for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they got their tech from the future, but they are not aware of everything that's happening in the world so far in this Terminator.
Yeah, I love when they just add like future tech in, like in
no explanations
in Face Off when there's just random like Magnipus. I love when movies include future tech.
And finally,
ooh, I'm excited. For
I this. Present to you all the smoking gun in the final scenes. The police have a war room with several screens that have video being streamed from helicopters that are observing the car chase happening around the streets of Miami. And if you look closely, the label at the bottom of the screen where the video is being played says Skynet. I don't think it gets any clearer than that, because Skynet is the name of like the overarching like brain system of all of the evil robots in Terminator, and the police are already using it. Like, it's already a part of their technology.
And that's why they have the guns, the harpoons.
That's why they have the crazy harpoon guns. Like, it all fits together.
Okay.
If you don't believe me, if you think I'm making it up, there are photos on our Twitter page at Get Munched Up. You can find them there. This is real, guys. Dominic Toretto is definitely a Terminator. We are only on the second movie.
Yeah. I'm excited.
As our guest, are you convinced?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not quite convinced yet, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what else.
Oh, okay. God.
Well, luckily there's 5 more movies to convince you.
But I think part of it is, as we were walking over and Ben was telling me about this, it sounded so far from the truth that I think I just need a lot of convincing. So I'm really looking
forward to it. And it's hard when he's not even in the movie.
Okay, so just to close out the podcast, just to close out my corner, if you started the night at 0%, because you didn't even know about this theory, so you started at 0. Mm-hmm. 100% is that you're convinced, you're with me on this, like you're all in. Where do you stand on the spectrum now? Like how much did I win you over?
It's a great question.
It is. I think maybe like a quarter, 25%.
25%?
That's not bad for one. That's
good.
But it said Skynet.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong.
All right. Well, it just means I have my work cut out for me. More investigative journalism to come. That's why you guys tune in. It's for the journalism. So,
Like, I know Tokyo Drift's going to be a tough one, even though we're not going to watch that for a bit.
He's in the end of it, though. Like, you could actually talk about the man in that one.
That's true. And think about all the stuff I managed to talk about without him even being in the movie.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Well, all right, Leanna out.
Leanna, thank you for the Terminator Corner, as always.
You going to play my outro music, or just kind of gloss over it?
Da-na-na-na-na-da-da-da. Okay.
Yeah, we played that for you.
All right, thanks.
Felt like the music we got was you better covered. Last night.
We got you covered. I enjoyed the, like, I'm enjoying the newscaster bit you, like, really start out on the corner. I enjoy that.
I get a little too excited in the middle, though. I'll work on that. I got a couple more episodes to workshop it.
That's fine. The Skynet thing was, like, that is all you.
It's huge. And,
yeah, that's huge.
Huge breakthrough.
You could probably write a dissertation about that scene alone.
Do you think they'd accept that to, like, graduate early from my MBA program?
I can almost guarantee it.
Maybe not MBA, but definitely, like, if you were doing a film studies master's.
Oh, okay.
They'd be like, you understand film.
So I just have to change my entire career. But if I did, I'd be able to graduate really early. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And if they don't accept it, let me know and I'll write them a letter.
Oh, thanks, Ben.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I got you covered.
Now I really just want to see if anyone with a film master's has actually submitted this.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're out there, let us know.
Gonna look up on JSTOR real quick. See if it's up on there.
I do have access to that.
There we
Maybe
go.
Maybe I will.
Skynet, Too Fast, Too Furious.
Terminator man. Question mark? Vin Diesel. All right. So I think this next one's going to be a tough one to talk about, but the Corona count in Too Fast, Too Furious.
Tough. I think it's easy. Zero.
And that's why it's so tough, because
There's
like a gaping hole in my heart that can only be filled by Corona.
Here's the deal. Vin is the Corona man. It's his fuel or whatever your theory was from the first episode.
He was just incognito this movie, so they couldn't show him drinking it.
Yeah. So he's the one who's always calling for Coronas.
Yeah.
And it also might be a West Coast thing. And it's maybe not that big in Florida. I don't know. I haven't been. Not even a whole lot of drinking in this movie.
I was thinking
even when they were in the VIP room, it was just the cigar. No one was drinking. No, there was the champagne. It was a champagne movie.
Yeah, there was. And there was Pepsi.
But I'm trying to remember what they were serving at the bar. Like, at the circular bar where Vernon was watching.
They were probably, like, rum Pepsis.
We never got a good shot of it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. There was not a lot of drinking in this movie at all.
No, there wasn't.
Huh.
Even maybe the scene, like, I would say the main, like, honey scene was... like the first street race, and then later when it's revealed that not only does Tej have a garage, but also like a dock with a party on it.
Yeah.
Even then, like everyone was just chilling. Like there wasn't a whole lot of drinking. Like, people were just kind
of
hanging out.
There was a lot of Pepsi. I think in Florida, Brian got in with a straight edge group.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
I agree.
I could see it. I mean, you're when you're a drag racer, all your senses need to be laser focused.
Yeah.
I
think we should keep an eye out to see if Tej ever drinks in this. Because maybe Tej's, like, family in Florida.
Yeah.
This is one rule. Pepsi only.
I could see Tej being a straight edge, though.
Yeah, I could.
I could see that, too, actually.
I could totally see that.
Yeah.
All right. So that kind of closes out the bits we have and the sections we have. I do want to talk about something really quick. And it's just, where does everyone rank Too Fast, Too Furious? Like, so quality-wise, or just, like, general thoughts on this, because I don't want to say this about a Fast and Furious film, but not that great.
Oh, I liked it.
It has its moments, without a doubt.
I thought it was fun to watch. I mean, I think I would enjoy it less if I was watching it by myself, but I thought it was a fun movie to watch a group with people.
I mean, I think you guys all caught on to this, but the friendship in this movie was so good.
That's what got me through it last time. That's what got me through it this time. And
it kind of reminded me of, like, on the Bachelor, in The Bachelorette, some of the best moments from that show are when they show the outtakes at the end, or, like, even after the show finishes and you see on social media that, like, all the contestants are actually really good friends and they just, like, love making jokes about each other and they just have a really good time and, like, no one really talks about the fact that they were on a TV show to date the same person.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of that in, I got totally lost in the friendships and the fun that they were all having, not only in the movie, but it seemed like they were probably just having on set because it just felt really authentic to me.
Yeah, it really does.
And so I got totally lost in that and, like, kind of ignored most of the plot. Like, if I'm being completely honest, I do not know why the end of the movie went down the way it did. And I don't really care. Because all that matters is that Brian was like, Tej, help me out. And Tej was like, yeah, I'm going to choreograph, like, a whole, like, race dance.
You do that for family.
And then... like, Roman was like, sure, I'm going to get in the car with you and we're going to jump on a boat. And, like, the whole, like, no one said maybe. They were all like, yes, I'm in.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Blind friend-based trust right there. That's impressive.
So, to me, Too Fast, Too Furious embodies the best parts of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, and I'm good with that.
Your worlds colliding.
Yeah, right.
In the weirdest possible way.
Well, I think that has been this episode.
No.
No?
Your sister has a very important story to tell.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, why did you want to join for this movie of all?
Also, let's talk about your first...
this is your big moment.
Your first experience with Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yes. So my...
Take us down this beautiful and...
Do we need some music to go down memory lane?
Oh, I think we do. I think I'm imagining like some strings, a nice flute bit.
Can you guys whip something up?
I can't do yeah, I can't do woodwinds.
No, you can. I'm gonna count down. Ready? I'll conduct. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
That's good.
And we're officially on memory lane.
I don't know. We're really good.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. What? But I don't know. I'm confident. My tone's off tonight. I don't know what it is.
Confidence, my man.
So when I first heard that you guys were watching Too Fast, Too Furious this week, I immediately had a flashback to the very first time I saw it, and it was in theater. Mm-hmm. So it was...
You're so lucky.
I know. I feel the same way, but let me really tell you why I feel so lucky. So it's Too Fast, Too Furious. So Paul Walker's on the screen. Rom's on the screen. Old Tyrese, of course. And in this theater, I look to my right, and there is a gorgeous guy that I've had a crush on for like a year in high school. I look to my left, there's another gorgeous guy that I had a crush on also in high school. It was like the movie was, I was just surrounded by all of these men, you know, it was in high school, like so hormones and everything. It was like, I feel like I was like on top of the world, you know, it was like the moment when you are just surrounded by all of these wonderful things, you don't want it to end. I remember like the whole movie, I just had butterflies in my stomach, like being like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Did you come to the theater with those guys, or did they just happen to be there?
No. Okay. I went with them.
The two boys?
Yes. I went with both of them to go see the movie.
That's cool.
I know.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like a play on like two men, two something, but can't come up with
it. I know, but I think what I love when I think of it is like Too Fast, Too Furious, I had two guys.
Yeah.
You know,
it's good.
Good.
You were moving that's fast. 2 days.
Yeah.
There it is.
I was. Yes.
So I had a serious crush on this one guy, and I'll tell you the code name that my best friend and I in high school had for him. Mm. It was Cool Rider.
Nice. Cool Rider.
Nice.
That's really good.
So good.
And I were friends all of high school, and I had a crush on him the entire time. But there was a point when he was like, I think I have feelings for you too, but I don't think we should ruin it. So then, of course, I started crushing on the other guy. And about that time is when I went to the movie. So it was like, there was just so much emotion. So I think I love this movie.
That's a lot of tension. Wow. For high school, that is a ton of tension.
I love this movie because, you know, you're feeling that, like, the friendship and the emotions with Tyrese and Paul Walker. And that I was feeling that at the same time as I was sitting in the movie, no idea what was going to happen afterwards. Of course, nothing did.
Mm. Oh, no.
That's high school, isn't it?
It's high school.
But that doesn't even matter because with how the movie is and with how this franchise is, you don't need it anyway. You can just go live in their alternate world.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sure the amount of sexual tension between Tyrese and Paul, though, like, only made your situation feel more intense.
Oh, for sure.
Like, but I think what was even, like, more ironic perhaps or just perfect was that these two guys had the friendship like Tyrese and Paul Walker.
Oh, they really still do.
Oh, really?
They still are like incredibly amazing friends.
That's kind of cool.
The similarities were just
so you were kind of the fun. Eva Mendes then.
A little bit. Yeah, I'd like to think of myself.
I wonder if you got in the middle of that at all. I don't know.
There's some tension.
In my world, of course I did. But
also, can we'll talk that. Real quick about the other guy's code name?
Oh, yes.
I heard this on the way over, so that's why I want to
Cool Rider. Easy
Cool
Rider,
Rider was the was so, the guy on was the one guy on the right, and then the guy on the left was Iceman.
Nice.
Clearly taken from Top Gun.
Yeah.
He was Swedish, so I mean, he had blonde hair. He kind of looked like Val Kilmer a little bit. So we went with Iceman.
That's good.
It was, you know, when we were out in public in high school, we would talk about them, be like, "So Iceman and I did this and this and this."
Okay.
Or, you know, Cool Rider saw me the other day and said this. We felt so cool.
That's hilarious.
That's a lot of fun.
We use code names. Did you ever use code names?
We did too, I think.
Should we all share a code name we refer to someone as?
I don't remember. Well, okay, sure.
And then we can close out. I can start. You seem like you don't want to.
Oh, no. I don't remember any of our specific people, but never mind. I'll get to mine.
Okay.
You go ahead.
Okay, so in middle school, a friend of mine, we would pass notes a lot in middle school, and we were always worried about people finding them. Mm. So I wish I remember why we picked this name. I have no recollection of it, but we referred to him as Mush.
Oh my god. That's a great name.
He was a positive, like, you guys liked him?
Yes, we liked him. Yeah.
Like, what if he ultimately found out that, like,
that he was Mush?
Yeah, I don't think he'd take it well.
Probably not. No. I wouldn't blame him.
That's a good one, though.
Yeah.
Mush. Like, that's a perfect code name.
Although, in middle school, you're still happy girls are talking about you.
Yeah, but he was, but like out of our league in middle school. Yeah, like, we weren't part of the crowd he hung out with, so I think it would have been weird if he'd found out. Although, I don't know how boys work. Like, maybe. Anyway.
I don't really know how either, Leanna. I'm just pretending. In my head, I'm you're like, and middle you're, school, like, you're like, everyone just likes being talked about.
You're probably right, but at the time, as, like, the person doing the talking, you're so paranoid. Oh, so it's hard to, like, understand that.
Yeah, you would never want the wrong person to hear or see what you're saying.
God, middle school is the worst.
Yeah.
So are middle schoolers. Just like in general, that whole thing.
Preteens.
Yeah. Really bad.
It's quite the time.
I pass a lot of them on my way to work, and I just kind of pity them when I do. Like, they look so awkward. They haven't grown into their bodies. They're very self-conscious. You wonder why they're wearing what they're wearing. Mm-hmm. You kind of just want to, like, give them a blessing.
Yeah.
And then let them go.
Yeah.
You'll get through this. We'll be fine.
It can only get better.
Andre, any code names?
Yeah, I just remember specifically on our East Coast field trip that we did, I think after eighth grade, and it was just a general code name for girls. So, like, the chaperones or girls wouldn't know what we were talking about. And I think it started out as bricks. Like,
they knew.
Do you see those bricks?
Oh, like, my gosh.
And I think pretty quickly people caught on to that, so we switched to dinos. But again, like, context clues give it away pretty quickly.
Also really good.
Oh,
also
man.
Really good.
Yeah. So we burned through two code names in like 2 weeks.
Both good, like, fun to hear code names.
But they're also like... when I first heard them, like, I didn't know what it was, and I was like, what's a brick? Why is everyone talking about bricks today? And then you find out, and then it's, like, almost over, and then people are talking about dinos. But then you pick up on that quicker, because you're like, okay.
So it wasn't just you and your friends, it was, like, it all was like of the guys
boys. Yeah.
Referring to all of the girls as bricks or dinos.
Well, it was a small school, and probably an even smaller trip,
Yes, right. Yeah, okay. I mean, we all fit on one bus.
There you go.
Yeah.
So word would also... pass through really quickly as well. Like, if you heard someone talking about bricks or dinos, you would pick up.
The girls knew.
Probably. Maybe.
No,
probably.
Like, they definitely knew.
Yeah.
You were all in the same bus. The girls knew.
God, I also remember on the trip there was we stayed in one hotel with a pool, and that was an exciting night.
God.
You swam with the dinos?
Yeah, we swam with the dinos that night.
Wow.
Middle school.
So glad I didn't know you in middle school.
Time.
Middle school's a weird time.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
Yeah.
As for me, like, at least in middle school, I went to an all-boys school. So the only time we would really... there was one sister school and then another all-girls school. And the only time we'd ever really interact with them would be either at, like... track and field events or dances. And understandably, I wasn't necessarily interested in girls all too much, so we never really had code names there. And then in high school, I think kind of as an extension of that, I never really had any code names either, just because there was never someone I would talk about love interests with in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just never something that I have had the experience of having to use a code name to talk about
Ben,
something.
We can have a code name for something.
All right, let's come up with a code name right now. What's our code name?
We have to come up with a thing. We'll get back to this on the next episode. We'll let everyone know what the code name is. But we won't tell them what it is.
Okay.
It'll be our secret.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tune in next time.
I've got some ideas.
Okay, great.
We'll talk about it.
Sounds good.
All right. And so that has been... the second episode of our Munch Fast Week, in which we watched Too Fast, Too Furious. We are Munch. We had my sister, Erica, who lives in Seattle now, which is wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us.
It has been a pleasure.
We'll have to get you on for a guest post at some point.
Yes. Yes, that would be fun. We possibly discussed Grease, too.
Of all things.
Oh. It goes with the cool writer.
Interesting. Name, so. Yeah, okay.
Grease 2. Is that the one that they came out with a couple of years ago, or?
No.
No,
that was a remake of Grease, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, okay. This is Michelle Pfeiffer.
I'm less excited now. Not that I was... Okay. Well, anyway. All right. Maybe that one, then.
We could talk about some other picks.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other options.
Yeah. Like, for some reason, I broke down Palace. I equate with you for some reason.
I loved that movie in high school.
Yeah.
With the same friend that we had these code names with. So, yeah, I could easily
Can we fly her in for this also?
She's moving here.
Oh, perfect.
There we go.
Great.
In June.
All comes together.
Yeah.
Erica, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. We are Munch. You can find our content at getmunchedup.com. We are also on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, and Instagram. Across all those, we're just Get Munched Up. Please send us emails, at getmunchedup@gmail.com. We would love to answer your questions. Also, if you're listening to this on iTunes, feel free to subscribe, rate, and comment on our podcast. We would love it. And we're also looking for feedback, about how to improve and just generally how we're doing. And other than that, look forward to the rest of Munch Fast Week. Thank you.